You're listening to Up Your Game, a weekly show designed to turn dreams into goals and goals into reality. Here's your host, entrepreneur and content creator, De Niro B.
What's going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Now, before we dive into the content and we're going to start dropping some value bombs, wanted to ask you to please subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't done that already, it helps me and it helps you stay on top of all the new episodes that we release every single week. Also, if you haven't, please share this podcast with your friends. It's important because if you're on the rise, you want your friends to be on the same page as you are. You don't want them to slow you down, but most importantly, you want to help your circle grow with you. All right, so let's get started. What is going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. This is the Saturday episode, the long ones, with our friend and co-host Liam. How are you doing, Hello. Liam, today?
I'm doing fantastic. Just hanging awesome. Out, ready to talk some productivity, some energy stuff with my buddy De Niro.
All right. Awesome. Perfect. So I'm going to get right into content today. But before I actually get started, I wanted to ask you if you could please share this podcast with a friend or a family member that you think could benefit from these topics. Liam and I, as well as other friends in our circle, we always talk about productivity, energy. We always talk about business, because if you don't talk to each other about these topics, we can't really pump ourselves up by ourselves, right? So it's important for you to get these episodes out there to your circle so you and them can grow together as a unit. All right. So today, as Liam was saying, we're going to talk about energy. Why is energy important? So I'm going to say my two cents on this. Liam is going to even explain why energy is important for him. And then we're going to really find out what the energy problems are and how you can solve them. All right. So for me, energy is important because I remember a time in my life where I had a very, very vivid dream about what I was supposed to do with my life. I knew what I wanted. I knew what it took to get there. I knew that I needed to work hard. I wasn't kidding myself. I wasn't pretending that it was going to be all easy. So I was basically focused on the right direction. But however, there was something that wasn't working correctly, and it was just that energy that wasn't coming out. I was waking up in the morning with the right mindset, but as soon as I would get myself to do some work, I would literally fall asleep at the keyboard. I would literally slowly deflate like a balloon. And like, I would go like, oh my God, I need to sit down. I need to, you know, like drink another coffee. And then I would drink coffee, and then that coffee would actually give me these energy spikes, but they were not actual energy spikes. It's just this, I don't know, like bad energy that would get me all, you know, start twitching and stuff. It was not good energy.
Yeah.
And I didn't do a lot of work. Did you ever feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, energy is extremely, extremely important, because even if you have everything else perfectly lined up, you have the productivity down, you have the business plan outlined, you have the perfect business idea, whatever it is, you're ready, you're working 8 hours a day on one thing that you love, but you're too tired to do it, or your energy is scattered in the wrong direction. Like maybe you're distracted or something like that. Or like you said, twitching from drinking too much coffee. Like, energy is the glue that keeps everything kept together. It's so important.
Okay. I honestly think exactly the way you think. And I generally look at energy problems in two different ways. All right. So one energy problem is how much you sleep. All right. So sleep is a huge component to how you operate during the day. I think I already talked about this in one of my episodes in the past. I'm going to quickly bring it up. I used to work with a guy. His name is Alan. Shout out to Alan. I remember I went to him and I said once, hey, like, you're doing so much great work. I want to do what you're doing. And he looked at me and he's like, you didn't sleep well, did you? And I was like, well, I slept about 5 to 6 hours last night. I'm kind of tired. And he's like, well, that's the exact reason why you're not doing as well as I am right now, because you don't take care of your sleep. So sleep is super important. 7 to 8 hours. Don't care what people say. I actually started experimenting with exact 7 hours and 15 minutes. Some days it works better than 8 even because of the sleeping cycles. But we'll talk about that in more detail in a later episode when we're only going to talk about sleep. But the second thing that I think is also important is what you eat. Think about it. Sleep is how you recover. And food is what you are. You are your freaking food. Let's be honest. If you eat pizza and popsicles every single day, that's all you eat. You're going to be half sugar, half carbs, half processed carbs. It doesn't matter if, you know, like your microbiome in your stomach is going to turn that stuff into cells in your body, but the building blocks of your body, you know, muscles, skin, everything else is going to be that garbage. Yeah. Plain and simple. So like food and sleep are the two components for good energy. So fix your sleep, fix your way you eat, and you're going to fix your energy problems. Now, can you please tell me, Liam, maybe a couple of ways that you can manage your energy levels throughout the day, how you do it, and I'll tell you how I do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like exactly what you said, I make sure to get a good night's sleep. And going back to what you said about sleep cycles, I make sure I actually have an app on my phone to make sure that it actually monitors me while I sleep and wakes me up. The alarm goes off at a range between a half hour, depending on, you know, how much noise I've made throughout the night, to make sure that I'm woken up in the middle of a sleep cycle rather than in deep REM. Because if you wake up during deep REM, even if it's, you know, after 10 hours of sleep, you're still going to feel tired and not have energy when you wake up. Another big thing I do that I actually learned from you since we started doing this podcast is cold showers. I take a cold shower first thing I do every single morning I wake up. I don't do them to the extreme that you do, that we spoke about, you know, meditating for a few minutes in the shower. But I hop in, I put the shower on, you know, not ice cold, but pretty cold that it's like wouldn't be comfortable to swim in. And I just stand there, I let it run all over my body. And as soon as I step out, it's a new day. I'm awoken up, you know, because I do have a problem I've struggled with for a long time that it takes me about an hour and a half to go from sleep to fully productive and awake. I found that cold showers are a big help for that. I do drink coffee in the morning still, but I've narrowed myself down to just having it when I first wake up rather than, you know, keeping me alive throughout the day, multiple cups. As you say, as you take a sip of your coffee.
Yeah. At 12:30.
Yeah. And then also food, like you mentioned, I do something called intermittent fasting. So I don't eat after 8 p.m. and I don't eat before 12 p.m. on most days. And I try to remain healthy in those periods. So I don't really avoid unnatural or processed sugar. So if I need sugar or if I want sugar, I want something sweet, I'm going to lean towards either fruits and vegetables that have sweetness, or even like I like sugar-free Jell-O, which obviously is, you know, unnatural sweetener, sugar-free sweetener, but it still is a sugar-free substitute. And then also just say, like you mentioned, avoiding pizza type of massive amounts of carbs, processed carbs, also helps me keep my energy throughout the day.
Awesome. So what I do is very similar. Now, a lot of our listeners, a lot of the game changers are on the phone or they are on their podcast app right now listening to this episode. They still may be either doing, you know, exams during university or whatnot, or like they're young professionals working 9-to-5 jobs. So some of the things that I will say right now cannot apply to your lifestyle. So I do apologize for that because I only work on my business. I work remotely. I work from home. So I may have a bit more freedom around how to organize my schedule. But nonetheless, I want to tell you what I do so that by the time you get to that level as well, by the time you quit your job, by the time you're only working on your business, you could adopt a similar lifestyle. So as Liam was saying, what I do, I tend to have a cold shower right away as soon as I wake up. First thing I wake up, I drink maybe half a liter of water. I take my supplements. We'll talk about supplements as well soon. And then what I do, I have this hammock time. Like Liam was saying, it's then about 15 to 20 minutes, 30 minutes sometimes, either meditation or with my eyes open, taking in the world around me without, you know, freaking out, basically. Just being with myself, no phone, nothing else. After that, I take that cold shower that we talk. It's so key because it really wakes up every single cell in my body. There's a trick that I learned from another important podcast out there, which basically tells you to put cold water right on your forehead and cold water on your chest. Those are the two parts that will actually make you wake up the most, or basically you revive your body the most, right? So after I do that, I work. Then I take a lunch break around 1 o'clock. Now, this is the point that I was telling you not may be able to do it. If I had an extremely productive morning and I'm kind of tired after lunch, I do like to take a 30-minute nap. Now, what does that mean? Game changers, a lot of people can't fall asleep within 30 minutes, so I understand that it may be hard. So what I do is I set a 30-minute timer on my Apple Watch. I put in earplugs, I cover my eyes, and I just basically concentrate on my breathing. Now, generally speaking, within 10 minutes, I pass out. And then about at a 25-minute mark, so about 15, 20 minutes after I pass out, I naturally wake up, right? And naturally go back to being awakened. And then I only have the timer on my watch in case I actually pass out and then I have to do stuff. So I have to wake up again. But I generally don't do anything for more than 20 to 25 minutes, because if you have a nap that's longer than that, it starts to actually go into deep sleep. And as Liam was saying, then you would have to wait until the end of the cycle, which is a full 90 to 95 minutes to wake up. And I definitely don't have time to do that. But if you can't do that because you're at work or another circumstance, I remember my friends that already knew this napping technique would go into their car. Maybe that you park the car in a garage, you go in your car. If you don't have a car and you can't do that, even tell your friends at work, hey, I'm just gonna, you know, put my head down, rest for 30 minutes. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be something like don't need a bed to do this. You just take about 20 to 30 minutes to shut off your brain and relax. That nap will change everything. There was a book called Take a Nap, Change Your Life. I will put that in the show notes, I think, because I don't remember the exact name of the author. But the whole point of the book, and one of the studies that was most compelling to me, was that they had two groups in the study. That one group that was awake in the morning and they didn't have a nap, but at 2 to 3 p.m. they give them a very hard task. Actually, they give them both groups a task in the morning, so they both, you know, did it similarly well, like not that much difference. Then one group went to bed, but they had a 30-minute nap. They told them to just close their eyes. It was silence around them. They had a nap. And then they had a second task at around 2 to 3 p.m. And the other group did not have a nap at all. All right. Now, the group that had the nap for 30 minutes finished the task with the same quality and speed that they did in the morning. The group that did not have the nap actually had more difficulty to stay concentrated, and the quality of the work was not as good, right? So this actually goes to show that even a 20 to 30 minute nap will increase your energy level for the day. So you will have the same amount of, you know, concentration and productivity and focus and energy in the morning that you will have in the afternoon if you take that nap, all right? So as I said, if you have a job that doesn't allow you to do that, that's totally fine. I only started taking these strategic naps a couple of months ago, but they did change my life for the better.
This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Planner at phoenixplanner.com. I've been using the Phoenix Planner for 3 months now, and as soon as I started using it, I dropped every other productivity tool I was using. The Phoenix Planner lets me set my 3 to 5 year goal. Then it breaks that down into a yearly one. Now, once the big picture is complete, it makes you set 4 quarterly goals, and that's when the real planning starts. Phoenix Planner allows you to schedule weekly, daily, and monthly tasks. It has a monitoring system for tracking your habits, and it works as a journal too. On the daily pages, you can write down your focus and what you're grateful for. Now, remember that gratitude is the key to keeping yourself grounded and in control every day. There are also slots for rating your performance and giving yourself feedback. In a nutshell, the Phoenix Planner is the ultimate planner if you want to take your life and business to the next level. Visit phoenixplanner.com to get 20% off your order. Apply the code PHOENIXDEN at checkout. That is PHOENIXDEN for 20% off your order. And now, let's get back to the episode.
So we were talking about food earlier. So Liam, can we dive in deep actually in the foods to eat? All right. Not what to avoid, but foods that you know will make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my favorite foods to eat are basically anything super fatty. Like I love eggs and cheese and bacon in the morning. Bacon you can't do full time all around the year because it's obviously a bit greasy and stuff like that. But there's alternatives and ways to get around that. But, you know, bacon, eggs, cheese, beef or pork, and then obviously vegetables and fruit. Those are probably some of my personal favorites. That's just my personal diet. Obviously, everyone is different.
Well, yeah. Explain what your diet is so that people can put it into perspective. But it sounds almost like a feast or what you do.
Yeah. So I only eat twice, two meals a day. So what I'll do in the morning is I'll have maybe two eggs with cheese. And then depending on, you know, the month or the week, I'll have bacon with it as well. But again, just due to heart health and digestive health, I don't do bacon every single day all year round. And that's usually around noon. And then around 5 p.m., I will have one piece of pork or one piece of beef, whether it's a pork chop or ground beef or a burger without a bun. And then on the side, I'll have a mix of vegetables, whether it's corn, broccoli, peas, carrots, something along those lines, cauliflower.
So you're basically talking about the ketogenic diet right now. So like, because a lot of people that may not know what the ketogenic diet is right now, that may be freaking out, be like, well, these guys are talking about, you know, eating healthy and all I can hear is cheese and bacon and pork chops and whatnot. So to the listeners that don't know, the ketogenic diet is a high fat diet with low carb intake. So Liam would not be able to eat what he's eating right now if he was having, as he said earlier, that bun with the hamburger or something else that has carbs, because your body can either burn carbs or burn fats. They can burn both at the same time. So when you're in a ketogenic diet, you're able to eat foods that you wouldn't be able to eat in a healthy way while eating carbs as well. There are even other fats that I would consider very good. Well, not only me, but like they're very good. They're those natural plant fats like avocados, or there's a lot of other fats that you can get even from salmon as well. They're very good. And those can be used as energy if you are in a ketogenic diet. Now, the great thing about the ketogenic diet is the fact that it gives you a sustained amount of energy throughout the day. It's not like carbs. As a matter of fact, let's actually start talking about the foods to avoid, which are generally, as you said earlier, processed carbs. Stay away from them as much as you can. So like all sorts of like white breads, pasta, pizza, and all that stuff. I mean, you can still have it as cheat meals, but I would not recommend them as your general everyday foods, because they will give you these energy spikes. You may be able to work very hard for an hour or two or be super excited, maybe even overexcited, and then boom, you're back to being super tired. And that's not where you want to be, right? As an entrepreneur, as a top performer, you want to make sure that your energy levels are consistent. And you can rely on these consistent energy levels to do everything else. Think about it. If your energy levels are not under your control, what are you going to do? What if you have an important business meeting that's scheduled for 3 p.m. and all of a sudden you actually have this very bad energy dip and you're going to not perform during that important meeting? You can't not do that, right? So foods to avoid, as I said, those are the ones. Of course, fried foods tend to be heavy on your liver, and your liver will actually impact your energy levels in the long run. I'm not going to get into, you know, like the actual scientific part of this, but trust me if I tell you that fried foods are not that good for you. And that's also a reason why bacon, it's not that there's anything wrong with pork in general, but it's just the way that you cook. Generally speaking, the bacon has to fry in somewhere, either in a pan or even in the microwave. It's frying in its own grease, and that changes the molecules of that fatty meat, and it makes it even harder to digest. So that's one of the reasons why you probably want to stay away from that. But if you don't eat bacon, then as we said earlier, there's so many other healthy fats that you can use and you can eat to make you feel good, right? So for supplements, what do you use?
Me personally, I do range quite a bit, because I'll admit I'm a bit skeptical about supplements still, even though I've been taking them daily for probably 5 years. I don't always notice if I miss a week or a month, or let's say I don't go to get a refill. I find myself not fully noticing every single time any real difference. But on the other hand, at the same time, you know, since I've started taking supplements, I have become a much better person all around. So, you know, I have more energy, I have more productivity, a better mental health, better gut health. And whether that is because of any other changes or whether it's because of the supplements, or most likely a combination of both, with the supplements being a small part. But to end my ramble, the actual supplements that I do take is the omega-3 fish oil. I take it in liquid gel pill form, one of those per day. I take a supplement called 5-HTP, which is not as common of a supplement, but it's basically for sustained mood balance. So if you have trouble with mood swings or being moody, 5-HTP is supposed to help stabilize or balance your mood throughout the day. Another one that I take is magnesium, because as we just discussed, I do a ketogenic diet, and one of the things missing from a ketogenic diet is the proper daily amount of magnesium, or at least the way that I do the ketogenic diet. So I do have to take magnesium as a supplement on a daily basis as well. And then, you know, sometimes I will add ones here and there, but those are the three that I've consistently done for about 3 years now. I've also tried taking alpha GPC, which is another mood stabilizer, as well as vitamin D, vitamin, and vitamin B.
Awesome. So, I take similar. So I'm going to go through my stack right now. I also want to mention, just like Liam mentioned, is that supplements are not the end all be all. Meaning if you don't sleep well, if you don't eat well, if you don't take care of yourself, supplements are not going to do anything at all for you, right? It's like literally throwing a bunch of garbage in a tank of a vehicle, and then you add just maybe 1 ounce of premium gas, and then you're like, well, what the hell? Like, I have premium gas. Like, what's wrong with the car? So that's the whole point of the supplements. Once you have everything else under control, you use the supplements to supplement your, you know, lifestyle, to supplement your productivity, your well-being. But it's not, again, a solution for any problem unless you address the problems first. So with that said, I take 2 omega-3 fish oil in the morning and 2 at night. So 4 in total. I take vitamin D. It's very important. I live in Toronto, Canada, like Liam, and here the weather is not nice throughout the year. So unfortunately, we spend a lot of time indoor and we don't really get sunlight. And to actually get that amount of vitamin D through food, it would just mean that like I'm always trying to find vitamin D around me. So like taking that vitamin D supplement in morning really helped my mood, my skin, everything else, like energy. It really is a game changer. I don't necessarily take vitamin C. I stay away as much as I can from all sorts of these multivitamins because I don't believe in them at all. I also believe another thing, and I'm going to say magnesium is important if you have a deficiency in magnesium, like he was saying. Potassium is important if you have a potassium deficiency, but if you don't have these deficiencies, they actually counteract your energy levels. They actually make you feel sick. I'm going to give you a quick story. I used to have a banana every day. I used to have an avocado every day. And for some reason, I decided to take potassium supplements. And for a month, I was having very bad heart palpitations, couldn't even fall asleep. I went to the doctor. I finally did my blood work. And the doctor said, your potassium levels are through the roof. What are you doing? Then I explained to him what I was doing. He's like, you never do this again. Before you take these specific supplements, you want to do blood work to see if you actually need to supplement them. If you don't need it, it's actually counterproductive. It's unhealthy to do that. So take everything we're saying on this podcast with a grain of salt. Only act, only buy these supplements and start supplementing your diet with these things if you actually have a deficiency in them. Another thing that you can take that it's generally not bad, as he said, is alpha GPC. It's a type of choline. So choline has 2 different types, or probably more, but the 2 that I'm aware of that I've taken in the past is 1 to supplement your liver. It's important. And then there's the alpha GP choline, which is the one that helps with your mind. So generally is memory, mood, I'm sure as well, but like memory, I take it for memory and for to stay focused, because every time that I take choline in the morning, alpha GPC, it really helps me stay with that energetic tunnel vision. It is not an upper. Okay. So like there's some people that take like caffeine to stay focused. that is an upper, all right? So that gives you actually energy. Like, I know people that take like Ritalin and all that stuff. And well, that's not even a supplement. That's like a straight up like a drug. But that is, alpha GPC is not the same. Alpha GPC doesn't pump you up. It just like leaves you in the same kind of, you know, plane where you're, you know, relaxed, but it just helps you stay focused, right? And then I take milk thistle sometimes. Some milk thistle is actually to help with liver. So I know, for example, when I tend to eat a bit more, like we talked about fried foods, if I end up eating more fried foods than usual, then I take milk thistle, which is a natural compound that cleans your liver. Now, it's not a, you know, like a magic thing. Again, you need to take it for about 3 weeks religiously every single day to see results. But after that, it actually helps clean the liver so that you can go back to normal. I generally take it after a long vacation when I was out of the house and I couldn't eat the way that I generally eat. When I come back to Toronto, to normal life, then that's what I do. I supplement it so that I can clean my organism. All right. So those ones are supplements. Now, I wanted to leave you with some homework for today. So I want you to write down one food that you will avoid moving forward. All right. And I want you to write down one food that you will be committing to eating every single day moving forward. So one food to avoid for energy and one food to eat so they will give you energy. Liam, do you want to add anything else?
No, I think this was a great conversation, great episode, lots of takeaways. Energy is extremely important. Yeah, figure out one food to avoid, one food to add to your diet, and I think you'll be on the right path.
Awesome. All right, guys, as usual, thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you in the next episode.
And this is it for today, Game Changers. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to the podcast and you will be the very first person to know when we release new episodes. Also, do not forget to leave a review. It literally takes a minute. It makes my day brighter. And if you send me a screenshot for a limited time on Instagram or by email, you will get a free 15-minute coaching call worth $50. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.